Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m. A couple more segments with our guys, the Sacktown Sports Kings insiders, Brendan Nunez and Frankie Cardicelli, also known as Franco Cardo.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ooh. Heard that one before.
Rap name.
Well, I called you that on accident, and then I found out it's actually your nickname.
People call me like both separately, not ever in unison. But
somebody on the Sack Chat always calls you that.
Franco Cardo?
That's because that's what that's what you called him the first time he was on.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Cardo, so I started it.
Yeah, you started it.
Wow.
Cardo's definitely a nickname.
There you go. It's just so many. There's just so many things.
You're such
a
natural.
It's a funny name.
There you go. All righty. 916-339-1140. Before we get into...
Stop it. Stop.
The trade machines. Before we get into the trade machine, all guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Let's get out to Ken, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Ken? You're on with Styles and Watkins and the Sacktown Sports Kings Insiders. What you got for us?
Hey, what it do, gentlemen? How you doing this afternoon?
Good, great, man. What you got?
Hey, I wasn't for sure how I was going to start it off, man, but I start sitting here thinking about what y'all was saying, man. Listen, man. The best motivator, man, is self-motivation. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Self-motivation. These cats come from different colleges, different coaches, different teams. You've been motivated, man, over the years, man, by different minds. You know what I'm saying? Different coaches, different mentors. So you talk about this team, man. Our team is built. Man, we are a motivated team to win. Mm-hmm. Every night we go out on that floor, man, we are motivated to win. I guarantee you that. I'm in close proximity of everything that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I hear everything. I hear the team talking amongst each other. So motivation isn't a factor here.
Right.
What is a factor here is focus. You see, we have to have a focus, man, during the whole game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Last night we lost focus in the last 2 minutes because we wouldn't be talking like this today. If we didn't lose focus, am I correct, gentlemen? Because we would have probably more than likely pulled the win out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We let them go up because we had some, you know, Dumbo turnovers at the end of the game. You know what I'm saying? That should be happening. But motivation should already be there. So I'm not even going to include that in the equation. My equation is Monk has proven his point as the sixth man this year. Sabonis and Fox has proven themselves as all-stars. So, but we don't have nobody, that third player, that we could depend on to take that pressure off Sabonis and take that pressure off Fox.
Right.
The ball is in Sabonis' hands and Fox's majority of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So Sabonis more likely going to have some turnovers. Last night it was just, you know, funny style. But we need another player on our roster. I don't know who you're going to say the trade is. I'm not going to speculate because I was going to speak on a couple players, but I'm not going to bad talk today because I feel good. I'm going to listen to who your trade pick is, but I think we just need another player to solidify our roster as far as being a motivating factor as how we game play.
Thanks for the call, Ken. Yeah, I mean, who I have is not a star guy because I wanted to go a little bit outside the box,
nice,
right?
Okay.
So I have all that. And as far as the focus is concerned, look, I don't think that Coach Mike Brown needs to go in there and throw chairs. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying I don't know. I'm saying that you can't continue to lose these games that you really do need to win. We rattled off some of these games that are upcoming. You got to go to Philly, have a cheesesteak. Maybe Draper will be there. You got to go to Milwaukee, okay? The Phoenix, at some point, they're going to maybe figure it out at some point. So these are the types of games that you know you have to deal with. And as Frankie kind of spoke about in the second half, you were in the midst of the softest part of your schedule, and you're tricking off games, right? So I'll do mine because, honestly, this text that came through is going to be more fun.
Maniacal.
So this is the first, this is what I came up with. I don't know if you're allowed to just add the money because what I have here, this is a guy who isn't getting a lot of time right now. He shoots 44% from three right now this season. And he will bring that grit that you're looking for. And I'm sitting here, I don't know if he would be inserted into the starting lineup. You might hate this, okay? So Harrison's at $17 million. This guy's at $17.1 million. So I don't know if you can just add the cash considerations or if you have to add another player. But come on down, speaking of Philly, Marcus Morris Sr. For Harrison Barnes, straight up.
Man, I was expecting so much more with that tease.
Why are you doing this? No. Because I have another tease. Don't worry.
Listen, I liked Mook. Okay.
Just like that.
We're on that basis.
Main basis? Okay.
He slowed down a lot, man.
I'm just saying, more extreme than
Harrison Barnes.
Isn't he 35 years old?
Yeah.
I think he's just worse than Harrison Barnes right now.
Okay.
And probably like it's a different type of leadership.
Yeah. Wait, is he making
motivating?
He's making 17 million. And he's playing like 6 minutes.
Dollars? Yes.
Yes.
No, thank you.
For what it's worth, the trade was successful.
I know it was. I ran it myself.
It went through. Can I ask, is it because of the you think the Kings need more grit? Is that what it is? Like, or more like a
dog?
Yeah, is that
looking
to
add to the dog segment?
Yeah, he's not somebody that you are going to not think played. You're not going to be looking at Harrison's, or you're not going to be looking at Morris's numbers thinking, man, what did he do tonight? He will make his presence known, maybe for better or for worse. I don't know. Maybe there's a reason he's not getting any burn, but the 76ers are kind of rolling right now themselves. They got Tobias Harris. They got a lot of guys.
Did Drapes send you this trade?
No. All right, let's get to this other one because I don't want to hear it.
I'm honestly still hung up on the fact that he's making $17 million.
$17 million is insane.
He must be expiring.
That's more than expired.
Okay, yeah.
Kevin Herter and Harrison Barnes in the same area.
Real quick, did you guys see the Kings got moved to primetime against Philly?
Yes. Yeah. January 12th.
Yeah.
And Chris was very happy about that.
It's going to be a very bad thing.
The Kings are going to cook on national television. Tyrese Maxey. You got nothing on Fox.
ESPN.
On ESPN. All right, here we go. From the 916, this is a separate one.
This is just a joke from the
916. Okay. The only energy in that arena last night was when they were throwing out the free mini basketballs.
My brother caught one of those, actually.
So really?
Wow.
I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah. At least he got something out of
it. He got something out of that game. I'm on with something. They gave away some free pizzas, too. Little personal pizzas. I've never seen him do that.
I was mad why I didn't get a crumble cookie when they fell down.
Oh, yeah, no.
Because I was on the second level, I couldn't reach. I want a cookie.
I also don't think the fan base has gotten like free crumble in a while.
It's been a while.
Like watching because I told somebody I'd send it to them.
They should start giving out when the Kings shoot free throws.
That's what we said this morning.
Yeah.
Could be a conflict of interest there. Here we go. This is from the 916. This was 30 minutes ago, right when we started out with this Kings roundtable, when we said, oh, we can hang out in the 4 and 6 seed and be okay. 4 and 6? Don't be delusional. Without a major move that involves trading Murray, they might not make the play-in. They did nothing to improve in the offseason and don't have the personnel to defend competently. Get Markkanen. Many teams were injury-plagued last season. Not so much this season. Keegan Murray?
Spicy.
I will say this.
Go ahead.
All I'll say is that I would at least kick tires I wouldn't say Keegan's untouchable, but I'm not going to sell him for anything less than I think he's worth. I'm Masai Ujiri.
Yeah.
That's who I am.
For sure.
But he's not untouchable to me. Chris?
No, I agree. I agree with that. I think there is moves out there that, you know, if Giannis Antetokounmpo is on the table, I'm not going to say, no, you can't have Keegan Murray. I'm going to continue to say, like, if you're going to move on from Keegan, you just have to make sure it's like 100% the most obvious move possible, because I just don't think it makes sense to escalate the timeline just because you're impatient and want to win this season. I think that a lot of people are a little bit too focused on, okay, the West is open right here, right now. Let's hop on.
Let's go.
Well, okay, how about like 3 or 4 years down the line when the Kings are then like really hamstrung and
already have a couple parades by then, though?
But that's not a guarantee. That's not even close to a guarantee. And then how good is a like De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis, Lauri Markkanen team? That just doesn't sound like a championship winning team to me. And, you know, I just don't think that you should cash out on Keegan Murray right now for the sake of trying to win this year. Because I still think that there's a world where in 4 or 5 years, Keegan's better than Lauri Markkanen. And I don't know why you would want to give up on it just because, again, you were impatient. And I think it's a different conversation than the Halliburton one. Like, the Kings were a bad team and needed to flip things around immediately, so they had to get as many solid, actual, right here, right now, winnable players. I think right now the Kings are in a nice spot where Keegan's their only real developmental piece that could take them to another level. I wouldn't cash in on that unless you can guarantee the person you're trading for is going to put you at that level.
I'm with that. I think this is a process. Like, Denver, 17-18, misses the playoffs by one game. I think it's Minnesota, right? And then 18-19, Western Conference semis. 19-20, Western Conference finals. That was like a big outlier year in the two teams that they played. And then you go back to the semis. Then you go to the first round or conference. Yeah, first round. And then you end up winning the finals. Like, this is a slow process. You know what
I
mean?
But tell that to the fan base, though.
No, for sure. I mean, I get the frustration. But, like, you kind of... A lot of teams sit where you at for a little while before you find the appropriate move to take that jump.
So Sabonis is going to be 32 and De'Aaron is going to be 31, and that's when the Kings will have a chance at it.
I mean, by then they should be in contention. Yeah, I mean, that's the end of their prime.
Anthony Edwards and Shea, by then, they'll be the new faces of the league.
I mean, ideally, they'll be like just kind of starting to be there. And I mean, De'Aaron at 31 is like, ideally, that's like, right in his prime, and that's when he really should be in his championship window.
Okay.
Like, the championship window, if you look, it's really a lot of people end up winning their first championship at like 26, 27, and then that window closes by the time you're 31, 32 as like the best player on the team. So, like, I kind of view it as, yeah, De'Aaron and Domas are just kind of just now starting to enter that potential of a championship window. So I don't think that there's really a rush to get it done. I don't think there should be a rush to get it done.
I just am of the idea that there are ways to upgrade the roster to put the Kings in a championship contention without trading Keegan. I think that there are ways to do that. I think that there are players out there that
but
we haven't even talked
about.
Probably
not this season.
Maybe not the season, no. But yeah. I think there are players like right now that the Kings could trade for that you don't have to include Keegan. Like I was talking with like a couple guys out there in the bullpen out there about how Malcolm Brogdon's a guy. I wouldn't be upset the Kings were after him. There are some other guys that can... I mean, do they go back to revisit the Jeremy Grant discussion? I mean, I don't know how much better that makes the Kings. Kuzma.
Right.
Like, Detroit could be selling some guys. Isaiah Stewart, I think, would be a nice fit for a backup center or even play next to Sabonis sometimes. There are players out there that could certainly make an impact now. Caruso, a guy, if Chicago drops the asking price. We don't know what's going to happen over the next 4 weeks. But all I know is the Kings have made that big... move. They traded Tyrese Halliburton, who was young and had control, was blossoming, for a proven star, Sabonis, or all-star in Sabonis. You have Keegan Murray, who has had a couple of bad games, but had a very good month of December, great month of December, and is playing well this year overall. I don't think it's time to hit that break glass in case of emergency button and trade away your other promising young player with years and years of control. I just think we don't know what's going to happen next year or two. And right now, the Kings, again, I know that the losses have been horrible, but they're 19-13. They're in the same spot they were last year, which at that point we were over the moon. And there are players that can be available that will not cost an arm and a leg.
People are comparing Keegan Murray to maybe, hey, last season Scotty Barnes had a slower season, and now this season in his third season is starting to really flourish that third season leap, and it's called the sophomore slump for a reason. So you don't want to sell out on Keegan, and then he ends up having that leap. And then you got two of them out in the wild, and nobody wants that. All right, we got one more segment with the guys. Get your texts in, get your questions in. We see a couple about some potential other moves on the Sack Chat, so we will get to those, continuing to have the conversation about the state of the Kings and what they do next. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m., joined by our Sacktown Sports Kings insiders, Brendan Nunez and Frankie Cardicelli, having a conversation about a spicy text message here on the text line, 916-339-1140. If you want to be a part of the conversation, saying it's time to move Keegan. Now, like I said, I'm not saying Keegan's untouchable, but I'm not moving him for Lauri Markkanen. I don't know who I'm moving Keegan for, but it ain't Lauri Markkanen. I can tell you that much right now.
Right.
Yeah, he's not untouchable. Like we talked about last week, I think. There are very few players in the NBA that are untouchable.
Truly.
But, again, what Keegan has shown when he's on, and last night, like, games like that are frustrating when he's not able to help out. We talked about the Kings need a guy that can help out Fox and Sabonis when no one else is stepping up, and Keegan is supposed to be that third option.
Yeah.
It's frustrating, but we've seen what he looks like when he can, and he's done so, I think, more so than not over the past month. I just think that the age he is and the controllable, like as far as him being a restricted free agent, I just feel like that's a guy you might want to hang on to, and you can try to upgrade the roster other ways. I mean, you have the assets, you have the draft capital, you have contracts like Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter, but again, on the Barnes case more than Huerter, you're probably going to attach some of those picks to get him off, you know, to get whatever trade you want done. But I think that trading Keegan would take Markkanen and maybe a little bit more. I mean, if the Jazz are being stingy about the asking price for Markkanen the same way that Chicago is being stingy about the asking price for DeRozan or LaVine or their players, yeah, the Kings should feel stingy about the asking price for Keegan Murray too, because he has proven he can be a two-way player. Like he's doing that right now. He is making those strides right now. He seems to be more consistent with it.
We said earlier in the show that this might be more the caterpillar phase for Keegan Murray, and you're hoping next year and the years to come, he becomes that butterfly. On the 916 on the text line, essentially saying you guys are talking as if Murray is a guarantee. There's no guarantee. That's why you get the proven player. You're not wrong, but I'm saying Lauri Markkanen is not my proven player.
Yeah.
That's just not it for me. Maybe for certain people out there like the other 916, the other texter, but for me, I don't know who that person is. Chris joked about Giannis. I would take the proven player, but it's not going to be Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think Frankie actually brings up something I haven't heard anyone bring up when it comes to the Keegan Murray, and it's the fact that he's on a rookie scale deal too. Like you get the team control and you get to pay him probably less than what his actual market value is. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you sub that? I mean, and that's a tough thing about the Tyrese thing is now the Pacers are going to have that franchise point guard for the next,
pretty much.
For the next 6 or 7 years, and they're going to be paying him, I mean, not what, I mean, what, De'Aaron Fox is going to be making $55 million or something like that. Tyrese
not Supermax, not Supermax money, right? I mean, the money he was able to get for his rookie scale contract, if I'm not mistaken, right? He's not making $60 million like Damian Lillard's, and if Fox signs another contract, like
Yeah, exactly, and I think that's another thing when you have to think about moving on from Keegan Murray. It's like, well, you got to consider Keegan's going to probably be at a discounted rate. And if you're trading him for a proven guy, you're paying for all that. And while it's not any of our money, I mean, it is, especially with the new aprons as well. I mean, the new tax aprons in the NBA with the new CBA, you really can't be paying more than 2.5 people, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that is what we know all of the issues some other teams are dealing with, and the Kings want to stay away from that while also improving and improving and improving. So you guys are more, I guess, for lack of a better term, realistic when it comes to the Kings. So at what point would the season be a failure? Would it just simply be the obvious ones? If they go to the first round again and then they lose again, is that just, hey, they didn't make any moves, they decided to run it back, fine. Now, Monty McNair, now you're on the clock. Now going into this season, you got to make some moves. Assuming they don't do anything, right? Would that be considered a failure or a success? Or is it just literally still honeymoon phase? You go to the playoffs again twice in a row after missing for 16 years. Hey, I'll take it. Just get in the dance and give yourself a shot. And you never know. They've beat some good teams. Like what is the line of success and failure?
I think anything less than a first round, you know, win is advancing the second round. Anything less than that to me is a failure. I think that this team.
I don't know where this process.
Well, that's what
is
I mean.
Process.
Well, that's what I mean. Like you want to advance. Like Brendan was pointing out with Denver. Like at least they were advancing and they hit a little rut and then they made the Aaron Gordon trade and that was kind of the move that put them over the edge. I mean, was he the entire reason they won the finals? No, but that was the component they needed to bring attention off of Jokic. Or you know, you have KCP who was a guy that could knock down shots for you. They had the right formula, and the Kings are now kind of trying to find what works. That's why they're doing this shuffling around with Duarte and Huerter and guys are in and out of the rotation. They're trying to find their rhythm and the right combination of guys to get them to maximize their potential. And I feel like, to me, if we're gauging what is a success or failure of a year, and Brendan, I'm not sure if you feel the same way, but I feel like a first-round exit, that's going to be a failure.
I'm fine with a first-round appearance. Like
I'm there, too. I don't think it makes a lot of sense to be there, but that's just kind of where I'm at.
As long as there's not negative progress from last year and I could just justify it to the same thing I said earlier, that they didn't feel like there was a move to go and take that next jump. Like, you have everybody locked up except Malik Monk. And so if you're getting more playoff experience, then that's valuable. You know, so I think there's, as long as there's not negative progress kind of floating around this same range, is honestly kind of fine to me. Like, we've seen this progress from De'Aaron. We've seen progress from Keegan. I know the shots aren't going down, but he's maybe their best defender. When last year, I don't think defense was a strong suit for him much at all. And like, we've seen those two things be really notable progress. If you have the best player, or if you have a player good enough to be the best player on a championship team, like I now think De'Aaron is, like, even if you have a first round exit, that makes it a successful season in my mind. And progress from Keegan makes it a successful season. You know what I mean? Yeah. As long as you are making that first round, like, I would say failure to me is
playing,
not making the postseason.
And I would also say that, like, a first round appearance, but first round exit probably lives in that in between fence sitting zone of like, It's definitely not success, but I don't know if I would categorize it as an actual failure. I mean, depending also on how that series
goes.
You
like, can't get killed.
If they get swept or 4-1 or something.
If they, if it was a Warriors-style first-round exit, I think I would maybe like ease off and like, oh, is it a failure? If they go 7 against like the Thunder. If it's a 2-7 seed matchup and the Kings lose to the Thunder in 7, I'm just like, okay, you know what? That was a hard-fought series against a team that maybe could win it all. I just think that fans are kind of moving on to the what's next thing. Like, oh, the drought's over. Well, now there's a drought of the Kings. They haven't won a playoff series in 16 years, beyond 2006. So it's like, that's just the next thing to me. And I feel like this team is good enough. I feel like this team is good enough to say they haven't won a playoff series since 2004.
Right when you said that, but I was like, so what I guess that's the last?
It's been 20 years now at this point.
I don't know, Frankie. I don't know.
I think it's just why. I think the question for all this, for the what's success or failure, the trades, all that is just, what are you hoping to get out of this year? And like, does it actually have to be a tangible move forward? Like, do you have to move on to the second round? What is, I mean, and honestly, this is kind of, you know, Monty McNair, would be nice if we can get a state of the state or something like that. What was his goal for this season? Like, what did he realistically see this team getting out of this year when it comes to actual success? What does success look like for Monty McNair? I think as fans, everyone has their own definition, but at the end of the day, whatever it really depends on where the team is on their own timeline and if they feel like they're still on track with where they want to be going. And we just, I don't think we know that answer.
And that's why it's frustrating too, as far as he did stick with the same group as like a hope to, okay, let's see if this group can maximize their potential. But like we're pointing out, they're the same spot they were last year. That's kind of a frustrating thing because they're going to be in the same position at the deadline then too. It's like, should they buy or should they not? And Monty might be in the same position as far as being protective over these guys, because again, they're a very close group, but at a certain point, when does that not matter as much as the result? Because if they do fall short, and if they do, you say worst case scenario, they make the play-in but lose the play-in, where does that put this group if they don't make any moves, or they make like a Kessler Edwards type move at the deadline like last year? They don't make a big type addition. Like, that's a frustrating part, because again, they are a good team, but they're in a very similar spot to last year, and that was a problem at the deadline because there was no clear direction to go.
Yeah, and let's not forget, I'm just looking here at the Western Conference. I mean, right now at the 4-5, you're dealing with the Clippers. So I think that's
No thanks.
the problem is the state of the West right now, and that will force you to think, okay, do I want to just say Nuggets, you go on? And let's not forget, we were talking about the Nuggets. Let's not forget that Jamal Murray went out. That year after the bubble, coming back, I thought that they could really do some things. And he goes and tears his ACL. So then that season was a lost cause. And then they came back and Jamal Murray healthy, and they do the dang thing. So I'm looking, okay, fine. Nuggets, it's your time. Clippers, it's your time. We're going to sit here. We're going to get ready to battle with the Thunder for the next couple years, with the Timberwolves for the next couple of years, and whoever else might pop up. So a couple of different ways to look at it at that point. The Lakers and Warriors, I mean, Steph and Clay, they might be done, or Steph and Clay and LeBron might be done. The Suns as well. Who knows what's going to happen to the Suns? So it's not panic time, but it is one of those situations where you don't want to end up in purgatory. And the question is, how long will people just be happy with being there? Thank you so much, Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli. You guys do a great job as always. I will see you tonight at the game.
You'll be there.
I'll be there tonight.
Okay.
So it's an official game because I'll be there.
Ready for dinner.
I will always be ready for dinner.
Gourmet buffet.
Some oatmeal cookies, because I heard they didn't have any.
No.
They didn't have any last night. So they'll know I'll be there. So they'll have some for me.
Maybe that's why they lost.
Exactly. I will be in the building. Don't worry. Okay. And be sure to hop on SacktownSports.com. Our guys doing great work, Frankie and Brendan. Go check out their pieces. They're always dropping new content. And follow them on social media. Follow them on X. Follow them on Twitter. They got all the stats that a lot of times Chris and I read and go over when we are doing our show. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. 30 more minutes with you, taking you to 2 p.m. Before the drive, guys, get you ready for Kings Magic. Thank you again to our Sacktown Sports Kings insiders, Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunes. Thank you to Nate. Feel like we haven't shouted out Nate enough today. Nate Littlefield doing his thing as always. And we have some more news. You have Fred Warner saying he expects to play the whole game unless he's told otherwise, which is probably the most important part of that quote.
Same thing with Debo. That's the exact same situation, right?
Yeah, and Fred Warner, his quote here, you can't tiptoe out there. The way you get hurt is if you go out there
That's the wrong mindset. Yep.
And you go half speed and yada, yada, yada. So, yeah, I mean, I think we all get – is that the only sport you can't play halfway, football?
Rugby as a
I mean, you can't half tackle someone, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's all super physical.
Could you make the argument Tyler Lockett plays halfway? He just falls in front of people. He just falls. He never gets tackled.
Explain it playing halfway in basketball, then, because I don't feel like you can.
What the Kings did last night?
Yeah, it's just what Harrison Barnes does.
Yo,
I'm not going to touch that. I'm just going to say what it is. What being lazy in basketball would just be. I mean, really, it's like not paying attention to your rotations. It's losing your man defensively. It's lazy passes. It's, you know, just not cutting. It's standing in a corner and just trying to do iso ball. Really,
so
that's lazy.
Equivalent in the NFL is what? Missing tackles,
right,
not running routes.
Lazy,
you just can't be lazy in the NFL. I'm telling you.
But there's a difference between lazy and going through the motions.
Yeah.
Like, I think lazy.
I think it's the same, though. I think it ends up being the same product.
No, I think when.
Or same result.
Like, to me, when you say, oh, you know, playing halfway or whatever, like in basketball, we see all the. It's kind of like what you're saying, but we see the memes and stuff of like a guy just like half trying and just shooting. It's not really possible to do that in football because you have to tackle someone.
Yeah, and you're trying to run away for your life.
Right, you can't half run.
Yeah,
you can't half run.
You know, you're not just going to be like, oh, this guy's here. I'm just going to kind of like, you know, leap into his arms a little. So
running out of bounds.
Randy Moss did this with the Patriots.
You're still running at full speed. Like, yeah. I mean, it's not like, you know, yeah, I mean, Randy Moss against when he was on the Raiders, I mean, I guess as a receiver, you can say, yeah, receivers may be the only position on the field because you can just run your routes really lazy and you won't get thrown the ball. And so, like, in that sense, you could. But if you're a lineman, you're going to – an offensive lineman, you're going to allow tons of pressures. If you're a defensive lineman, you're going to allow tons of runs through your gap, or you're just going to be seen leaning into the offensive guy. As a running back, again, you're running for your life already. That's not the right time to not be giving it full effort. I just don't think it's possible in football. And then plus, like, there's just dudes who are trying to block you, take out your legs. Like, you have to keep your head on a swivel at all times and just keep your focus on 100. Like,
somebody that just got pulled up from the practice squad trying to prove – everybody's trying to prove
everything,
something.
Everything,
at all times. So, yeah, my guess is that you get the guys out of there. I don't know when. I don't know if they will play at all. There's really no reason to. I don't think the reps are necessarily worth it at this point in time, so we will keep you up to date on all that injury report, or I guess just playing report, not necessarily injury.
Not even really,
I will add there's a potential website where you could, you know, maybe put money on teams or whatever, sports, and they're not letting you throw any money on Rams Niners.
It's about that time.
So it's
about that time.
It's up in the air.
Yep, it's about that time of the season. Had a good run. You can get right back for playoffs, so don't even worry about it. Just take a week off and enjoy your kids, go play catch with your kids and do some good stuff.
Real quick here. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I wonder if it's the same thing. Frankie just tweeted out the injury report for the Kings. No players listed on the injury report.
I feel like this is bad. They keep losing when they're all fully healthy.
Oh, man.
Somebody just take a night
Nancy
off.
Nancy Kerrigan, somebody.
Yeah, somebody just take a night off. All I was going to say is that the Hawks, this is from Woj, the Hawks are absolutely open for business on trades.
Okay.
GM Landry Fields seems determined to make changes to that roster with the picture. The picture is with DeJounte Murray.
That's interesting. I mean, you know, there is a Kings-Hawks connection. Wes Wilcox, their assistant GM, is someone who spent a lot of time in Atlanta. And as we know, the Kings acquired Kevin Huerter from Atlanta. So that's been an open line of communication. And I don't know, that's super interesting. And I wonder if maybe there can be some communication had there to get the Kings' protection removed from this year's pick. That'd be nice.
There you go. All right, dog time. Time for your dog of the game, sponsored by no one quite yet, but could be you. Hit up Scott Marsh. I don't have his number memorized like Carmichael Dave, but I will get it. Or call in 916-339-1140 on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline if you want to sponsor
Mug
the
Root
dog.
Beer. That's a good sponsor. It's got a dog on it.
Look, there's a lot you could use.
I'll take
there,
anything.
Nate, yeah.
I'll do anything.
Well, now since
don't
you have
pigeonhole
so much,
us, okay?
Since you have so much to say,
just some
Nate,
ideas.
Why don't you start off with your dog of the game? Let's get him in on the sack chat. Let's get him in on the text line as well. Nate, who you got?
Last game, I picked Trey Lyles.
I heard JaVale McGee, but
yeah. Oh, that was for the Memphis. That dude. He's fun to pick. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I'll pick another big. Let's go, Alex Len. Just second night of back to back.
Yeah.
Who cares? My parents will be in the building.
Hey.
Sure, they love Alex Landry.
Yeah, so
tell them come by, say hello.
I will. You want to meet my parents?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll introduce them.
Great
to
with parents.
Great, well, and kids too.
Kids too.
Great. He's a great guy.
Great. Yeah. Awesome.
Anyways, Alex Len.
Alex Len. Okay.
Okay.
CK916 on the Sack Chat says, are we really doing a dog segment again on the second of a back-to-back? Have we not learned our lesson yet? No, we haven't, CK. Because they're going to... Actually, this doesn't even count. This doesn't even count because they lost last night.
Oh, so we don't do?
No, we're doing the dog, but it doesn't count as a back-to-back win. Their first back... They still haven't won a back-to-back all season. So it's different, CK916, because they lost last night.
I am trying to think of... I almost feel like you with Kevin Huerter. I really want to take Harrison Barnes, but I just shouldn't. There's no reason to do it. It would just be so that I could say, look how right I am. I just don't believe it's actually
I heard he's taking the night off.
It wouldn't surprise me. He always does. Let's go with Keegan, man. Like,
yeah.
Come
yeah.
on. Mm-hmm. Like he's got a big matchup tonight. We were talking with Wendell earlier, and he mentioned the Magic forwards have been incredible. I mean, Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner are two of the best young forwards in the NBA. Keegan's kind of should be in the list, and I know Keegan's not the type of dude to do this, but I would like to see him see those two guys and say, I feel like I'm at that level. I feel like Paolo Banchero and I are from the same draft. I think Keegan's a couple years older than Paolo. I would love to see Keegan kind of take that matchup personally. I mean, all the time, people always talk about how many times do I have to hear receiver X list the 10 receivers who were taken in front of him, he's got it at his locker room. Keegan's definitely not that kind of guy, but nonetheless, Paolo's someone who was taken in front of him. Same draft class. Keegan had a good rookie year. Paolo obviously won rookie of the year. I'd like Keegan to try to take this matchup a little bit personal.
Well, I think that's a good one. So you have Keegan.
Murray.
And Nate has Alex Len. I'm actually going to go with Malik Monk, which I went with
back.
Malik Monk last game against Charlotte.
Sure.
But I'm not giving up on Malik. I think that there was a little bit, he had a little bit too much dip on his chip last night.
Doing a little too much.
Yeah, that turnaround, I will never forget that three.
It's a lot.
Because
it was like the first thing he did, too.
Anyone not named Steph Curry or Dame Lillard gets benched.
Yeah.
I mean benched.
Yeah.
LeBron, three players. Mm-hmm. I think De'Aaron might even get benched.
Giannis.
I would look around.
Giannis would get benched.
Giannis is getting benched.
That was insanity. Yeah. In front of the bench, too.
Yes.
That's how you knew it was on purpose.
Yeah, he was trying to flex on him.
It was on purpose. But I think Malik bounces back tonight in the second half of a back-to-back. And they will get this W. I think they get this W. All right, we got to get to a break. I'm seeing on the text line from the 916, can you guys speak on the Kings having the worst free throw percentage in the league? We did that 916. That was around, if I'm not mistaken, about 11:45. So you can rewind here on the YouTube chat if you want to check it out. Or find Hour 2 on the Sacktown Sports app.
Just put it up. Hour 2 is up.
Hour 2 is up, 916, so you can check that out. Because, yeah, we had a lot to say about the Kings' free throws, if you want to even call it that. More like the most expensive throws that we've ever seen. Somebody take the cover off the basket, please. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, David Tepper found himself in trouble. He was fined. And if you are not watching on YouTube, I am doing fine in air quotes.
Oh,
Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, 15 more minutes with you. Thank you for listening if you've been listening. If you're just now joining, thank you for joining. We are going over some more of the dogs here. Jess Escoto says, Domas is my dog tonight. Zero turnovers. Zero turnovers would be incredibly impressive because he normally coughs it up a couple times, but...
Oh, yeah.
Not as many.
I mean, it'll be two or three. I mean, he's got the ball in his hand all the time.
That we're fine with that.
Yeah.
You ever seen that meme when they're turning over, when it goes fresh turnovers and it's some dude in a bakery? Fresh turnovers, and then they'll put the person's face on it. Like Domas, fresh, your turnovers are ready.
That sounds,
fresh.
I don't know why, but my mind went to like, you know, like the bowling spare graphics and stuff that are always like insane. I don't know why, but like that's how I just pictured what you described.
Fresh turnovers. Would you like some?
Yeah, and it's just like a picture on the video of Domas. Screen, somebody like a poorly edited.
Yeah.
Nate, can you get on that?
I'm on it. I'm
cool.
On
yeah,
it.
Nate's, cool. Nate's.
I'm already making a Stiles Files logo too.
Oh, thank you. Right, yes, right. Yes. Stiles Files. That's just kind of what it is, man. That's just what it is.
No,
you
know, plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple, like a turnover.
Like a turnover.
One
Hopefully,
turnover.
We don't have as many of those tonight. Let's switch gears here now to a situation that I think a lot of people were aware of. But if not, just to break it down for you, the Jacksonville Jaguars and Panthers had a game, and the Panthers, I guess, ended up losing, right? Oof. And
to our boy C.J. Beathard, too.
And to C.J. Beathard.
Shout out, a Shanahan guy.
Another Shanahan Legend. Guy. Looks just like Brock Purdy now that he's left the Shanahan system as well.
Trent Baalke.
And there is a crazy video of honestly, I don't know if the fan was talking to Carolina Panthers chairman David Tepper or if he just had a bit of a Tepper tantrum.
Hey!
All right? And he is on the video. That's off the top of the dome.
Dude,
that's why you're in the biz.
That's right.
Best.
And he throws a violent cup of water or whatever
it is. I think we can say chucked. He chucked it.
Yeah. To a fan. He has now been fined $300,000.
Oh, should go straight to him.
So Darren Revelle.
Yeah.
So Darren Revelle did a calculation based on David Tepper's net worth. Okay.
Okay.
And he says this is from
I saw this.
Darren Revelle. Here's the tweet. For those scoring at home, fining David Tepper $300,000, who has a net worth of $2.6 billion is the equivalent of fining the average American $1.77.
Gotcha. Something about that is not right.
Not at all.
That's insane.
Well, we do this all the time with players,
right?
And even the players, they don't got money like this.
No, not like that.
So I don't know if the NFL said, this is not really our job. Because I'm telling you what, I hope that splashed me in the face because it burns my eyes. Okay, I'm allergic to water.
You're blind.
The cup allergic to water.
The cup hit me as well. My neck and my back, I slipped on the water trying to leave.
You have gremlin disease if you get wet.
There you go, right? So I am not. David Tepper, you will be hearing from my lawyer. Yeah. So I don't know if the NFL, if we should be upset at the NFL for only fining him $300K.
Right.
Or if it's just, hey, it's not the NFL's problem, they find him whatever allotted amount because he's going to get sued.
Yeah, he's definitely.
You got to get sued.
But, like, what else could the NFL have done? Like, I mean, maybe they could have done his fine off of, like, a percentage. I don't know how you would.
But
like,
then that's getting ridiculous. That's like, getting ridiculous.
I don't know
now.
How you would do that. Like, do you, I mean, what? Do you suspend him from attending games? Like, I don't really know what the NFL could have done, but I'll tell you what, this billionaire probably could have acted a little bit better, you know. I think there's also, it's strange. I mean, I don't know how much flack David Tepper should be getting, because I don't know if anybody even knew he existed before last week. But like, I kind of feel like homeboy should, like, there should be a larger conversation.
Yeah,
about,
maybe
this
it's not monetary.
Be an owner.
Yeah, maybe it's not monetary. Maybe it's,
and he just bought the team, didn't he?
It's a bad look. It's a bad look. I don't know what possessed him.
Bro, you're a billion. You make $2.6 billion. What is some dude who's sitting in the back row of the first section of the football stadium you're sitting in? Like, what did he say that really got under your skin like that? Like,
bro, he can't let the peasants talk to him like that.
That's right.
Look,
dude, ants.
I'm lightweight saying, like, homeboy, you make way too much money to get frustrated at anything that dude could tell you.
He's got to go to his island.
Cry
after
to the
this.
Bank, bro. Like, cry to the freaking bank. Yeah. You don't have, like, I understand being upset, but, like, dog, you make way too much money to let some person like me, from your eyes, a peasant like myself, get under your skin. Like, just move on and,
unreal,
again, wipe your tears with your $100 bill.
It's look, you get caught up in the heat of it.
That's wild.
And maybe somebody was, you could roast, right? Ha ha. You took, I don't even, did Bryce Young even play that game? I can't,
I think he did, yeah, no, he did, like, trash.
I don't think he, or he didn't finish or
something. I
don't
think he played.
He played, like, absolute garbage. No, he
did
played.
He
played, he just played, like, garbage.
Yeah, so you have, I remember seeing a video or a picture of Bryce Young on the ground, so I thought maybe he didn't
finish.
That's
normal. Well, that's just called him taking a snap.
So right. You have,
not a QB sneak, though.
Yeah.
So you have somebody maybe getting under his skin or attempting to get under his skin. Ha ha, you guys took Bryce Young when you should have took C.J. Stroud, just really roasting your entire existence. So maybe, okay, you have Bryce Young, who had 112 yards and threw for one interception. And again, this is not Trevor Lawrence he's going up against. Mm-hmm. This is C.J. Beathard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Raw.
And it is...
athlete.
It's a mess.
He ran like a 70-yard touchdown at preseason once for the Niners.
And the problem is, you're the Panther. You are in a... there's a lot to roast because you also lost your pick.
Yes.
So you stink this year for essentially no reason.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe that's what he said. You know, he said, bro, not only does your team suck, but y'all ain't going to get better next year.
Right, you're going to suck again.
He probably said, your over-under was 7.5 before the season started. What happened to that?
What happened?
What happened to that?
They are 2-14 for nothing.
Oh, my God. Yeah, literally for nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there was no incentive for them to lose this year. They obviously aren't getting their top pick. So
weak division.
Maybe the worst, I'm not even going to say maybe, the worst division in football right now, and you still end up with two wins. It's insane.
And now a legal case.
And you bet, and you know what? You deserved every bit of flack that fan gave you.
You caught L's and caught a case. It's just a season of L's for the Panthers.
Am I mistaken, or did he sign a poster before the game that said, I've been to every game this year, and I'm 2-10 or 2-12 or something.
Tepper
10-13.
Did?
Yeah. I saw a video before the game. It was one of the higher ups with the Panthers. I thought it was the owner.
Probably.
I mean,
here we go. I see it right here. It says, this fan has a sign that says 2-13. I never missed a game. So David Tepper made sure to speak and thank him. He didn't sign the poster.
Okay.
He did walk up to the fan and
that was before
him. That was before the game.
The
it could have been the same fan.
No, it was not. I can confirm it definitely was not the same fan.
Yeah, it's not the same fan. Yeah, that's a mess. And, you know, shame on Tepper for thinking that just because you're in money and you're in a position of power, you can kind of do what you want. And I don't know, maybe, because what's going to happen is it's not going to go to court or anything. No. We just saw that $300,000 is $1.77 to this man.
Yeah.
And thank you, Darren Revelle, because I'm saying, oh, that's all it is? I need a mil. So what's a mil? Help with the math here. What's a mil? $3? $3 to him?
Niners?
Niners insider?
A mil?
Yeah, a mil. What is it? That's three?
Alan's not getting it.
No, I'm not getting it. A mil. You have, I see, a mil.
There you go.
Yes. A mil, that's about what? Maybe $3 to him? Yeah, you could cash me out a mil.
It's about $3, yeah. By that math, I mean, if you scale it out, what, it's at 300,000 is 130-ish. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that should be quick math, like $4.
I need that. Can you imagine?
No, I mean, and that's another thing of this is like, yeah, I mean, that's a whole separate conversation. But like that dude has literally too much money.
Maybe that's like, why he did it. He said, I'll give you a million and it still won't matter.
This is worth it.
I can afford to do this.
The equivalent of like one of us spilling a drink on someone at a bar and then buying them another drink financially.
Yeah, pretty much. It depends on the bar.
Maybe a
too.
Little more than $3, but still, like, a little that's what you get away with. You splash a drink on someone and then you buy them one. Like,
a happy hour, drink. That's essentially what David Tepper, if he gets hit for a million, would have going
Poor
on.
Poor guy.
So, yeah.
Rough.
All right, well, let's get out of here. We have the Drive Guys up next. Thank you for listening to Styles and Watkins. It was a great show. Thanks to our guests. Thanks to the roundtable. Let's get ready for Kings Magic as the Drive Guys, Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper, take you up to tip off or to game night, rather, and we will have the call for you, of course, here on the flagship, Sactown Sports. Until tomorrow, secure the bag, and please – light the beam.